Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. There's a story of a heavily booked flight that was canceled. You ever been in that situation? And there was a single agent at the desk frantically trying to rebook the passengers, who were also, as you imagine, pretty frantic. And suddenly an angry passenger rushed up to the head of the line, slapped his ticket down on the counter and said, "I have to be on this flight and I have to have first class." The agent said, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, I'll be happy to help you, but I have to help these folks first. If you'll step to the back of the line, I'll take care of you when your time comes." Unimpressed, the passenger shouted as loud as he could, "Do you know who I am?" And without hesitating, the agent smiled and picked up the public address microphone. She said, "May I have your attention, please? We have a passenger here at the desk who does not know who he is. If anyone could help him find his identity, please come to the desk." Now, as silly as that sounds, although I can probably see that happening someplace, it does raise a question for us. Who am I? Who are we? That's a question that most of us have asked ourselves since we were probably old enough to think and comprehend such a deep topic. Who am I? This past week, I did a Google search just in Amazon Books on the topic of who am I, and there were 2,384 results on that topic alone. It's a good question. It's also a question that was asked of a certain man who was called to do a special task. We hear a lot about John the Baptist this time of year. In our gospel last week, we heard about some of the less tasteful food that he ate and some of the more harsh clothing that he wore. We might say that John would not have been shopping at Macy's for his clothes, nor would he be eating at Ruth's Chris for dinner. One thing is for sure, no one can say John was seeking glory. No one can say John was seeking fame and fortune. But one thing did stand out above all the descriptive observations. This simple man had a special message, and those who heard it could not get enough of it. They needed to hear more. And the more they heard, the more they wanted to hear. It's like I said last week, when people see something that is truly holy, that is truly from God, they gravitate toward it. With John the Baptist, it was the message given to him and the fact that God's hand was on him made John unique. His words were stirring the hearts of those who listened. His message was giving long-awaited answers. His message was showing the fulfillment of long-awaited prophecies. It was so stirring, some thought that Elijah had come back to life. And of course, with all the commotion and all the rumors, it stirred the Jewish leadership as well, who wanted to know who this guy was. So they send out some folks from their camp, go find out who John is. And they came with one question: who are you? And after a series of questions, John said no to all of those. But also notice what John did not say. He did not answer by saying, "I'm John, son of Zechariah," which would be the proper Hebrew greeting of introducing yourself. He did not say, "I'm John the Baptizer," which is what he was called to do. So again, they ask, "Who are you?" And John gave a simple answer: "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" He answered by telling them about the call that was placed on him since birth. And that answer should have been known by the leadership. It's right out of Isaiah, as prophesied hundreds of years before. It's probably been read many times in the temple. And the time is now here. As one who likes history, I love just looking at the broad picture of here, looking at how God has orchestrated this event. Because something that will change the course of history is about to happen. And John will play a critical role in making it happen. This simple man will be a part of that. How important was it? Listen to what Jesus said of John from Matthew 11:11. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen none greater than John the Baptist." Now think about that statement. Here is God incarnate saying that among those born of women, there has been none greater. Greater than all the prophets through history, greater than King David, greater than Solomon, greater than others who were marked greater in their day. That's pretty great. Some might say, well, what about Jesus? Well, yes, Jesus was born of a woman, but not the same normal sense of a birth. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So take into account, this is God speaking. There has been 4,000 years or more of history in the Old Testament that has been written about the coming of the Messiah. Prophet after prophet spoke to his coming. God, through his Spirit, has orchestrated event after event to bring us to this one huge moment. The Messiah has arrived and will now begin his ministry to bring salvation to the world. And one person would be the one who would announce his arrival. All that history, all that preparation now rests on one man, John the Baptist, who bridges the gap between the Old Testament and the New. And he is saying, get ready, prepare yourselves, repent. From the time John leaped in his mother's womb, when Mary approached Elizabeth, John's mother, John had a call on his life to usher in the coming of the Christ. Elizabeth knew this was more than just a kick. This was something special unfolding. Too many variables are taking place. Elizabeth's age, Mary being a virgin. John was special, and he had a special anointing on him. So let me ask you, do you believe you're special? Do you believe that you have an anointing? When someone asks you, who are you? What do you say? Now, I'm not talking about someone asking what your name is and where you're from and all this introductory stuff. Those are certainly descriptive answers when somebody asks us that. I mean, when someone really is looking into your being and asks, who are you? What do you say? What drives you? Over the years, I've shared this with some of you. Honestly, I don't know why I remember something so vivid from around 1978, unless it was a lesson for me. But I had surrendered my life to Christ about 2 years prior to that. And I was new in my then career path. And one of the managers who I knew through my job asked me a similar question. Now, he knew my name. We've had encounters on the job before. Our jobs crossed on many occasions, so he knew what I did. So he knew me. But he asked the question in relationship to my character. The question was, what do you do? He noticed that my lifestyle wasn't like so many others in a facility with thousands of employees around you. Or maybe it was just different than his. But being young in the Lord and new-ish at this company, I couldn't come up with an answer other than, I don't know. However, much of the answer to that question can be found in the pages of Scripture. From cover to cover is the history of mankind. From cover to cover is a message of salvation. From cover to cover is a loving God calling his people to himself. From cover to cover is a message of wholeness, healing, and well-being. And all those words come to life in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. If someone came up to you today and said, who are you? I mean, deep down with inside, what would you say? You see, I believe who we really are comes alive in Jesus Christ. Just as John's anointing came alive in him, our call comes alive as well. And more. You see, John was anointed by the Spirit to do ministry, as were the prophets of the Old Testament. Like I've said several times before, we who have Christ in us are the temples of the Holy Spirit. That light should be around us all the time unless we suppress it. And sometimes we suppress it. I know I do. We have all kinds of fears that creep up on us from time to time. But we really don't have to fear. God is always with us through His Spirit. And by His leading, we can touch so many lives by our actions, by our words, and by our witness. Every year at this time, the classic Christmas films hit the TV, right? Some stations will run a one movie marathon all day, and where they play the same movie over and over. And one such movie that comes every year this time is A Wonderful Life, a movie made back in 1946 with Jimmy Stewart. And I think the important message that this movie brings out is the fact that each of our lives does touch numerous other lives. The movie, as most of you know, points out that the conflicts between greed and honesty. But even when we don't think we make a difference, we in fact can be making a big difference in somebody's life. More importantly, God wants to be a part of that. He wants us to make a difference by doing what John and, more importantly, Jesus was doing in being a witness. I'm not saying we have to imitate John and go out in the wilderness and calling people to repentance. That was John's ministry. But I do believe with all of my heart that each of you has a unique call that God has just for you. I believe He wants to develop each of us into someone special with unique gifts that He wants us to have for that call. Some calls may be more unique or even a call to full-time ministry, but most are called to do something right where they are. We just have to learn to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. John's witness was led by the Spirit, even in the simple lifestyle. He was provided for, and his ministry was fruitful because he listened and he obeyed. The disciples, after Pentecost, were led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were anointed, and they prayed, and they obeyed, and they followed where Jesus took them by his Spirit. My point is, we don't have to force anything to happen. All we have to do is allow ourselves to be open to the truth that is already in us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to open the doors of opportunity for us, all we have to do is walk in and let the conversation begin. You know, little opportunities open big doors to the kingdom. Paul gives us some powerful words about how we should conduct ourselves as believers. He said, admonish the idle. In other words, we shouldn't be just sitting around. God has given us each a mission, and we should need to be active in our faith. Encourage the faint-hearted, he said. Ministry shouldn't be frightening. God is with us if we let him. Help the weak. Some are new in their faith and are learning to grow in their faith, and we need to help them to become strong in their faith so they can make a stand for Christ as well. We need to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, Paul says. We have countless opportunities throughout the day to praise God for who he is and to seek him in our prayers. All of these encouragements from Paul is really a part of our preparation as we grow in the Lord. Paul said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify, like we talked about holy last week, is being set apart. You are special in the eyes of the Lord. Through Jesus, we are set apart for him. We are set apart to grow and more each day in him. And as we grow, we need to remember what Paul said. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. God's Spirit burns within us and to do his bidding. Don't let the fire of God's Spirit hide. Let him shine from within. Allow him to use you. And when someone who is really inquisitive and asks, who are you, or what drives you, or what do you do? You can tell them who you are. Since that time, 38 years ago, I've had many opportunities to answer that question or similar ones. But if I could go back and relive that encounter, and that manager asked me, "What do you do?" I would say to him, "Tenny," that's who he was, "2 years ago, something happened to me. God changed my life, and it had a huge impact on me. I see the world differently now because of what Jesus Christ did in my life. Now, if you would like to get together for lunch sometime, I'd be glad to sit down and discuss it with you further." That is what I would tell him, or something similar. So I testify to you today that we serve a mighty God. Jesus is alive, and his Spirit burns within, and allow his light to shine through you. Let that fire burn from within you. Allow yourself to be his voice, to be his hands, to be his feet wherever you are. And he will give you the answer to the big question. Who am I? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given everyone who calls on your name something special, a special life in you. Lord God, I ask for each person here that you would just anoint them with your Spirit, that you would create a fire within them, Lord God. Help them to see, help all of us to see who you are and who we are in you. So, Father, I thank you. And, Father, as we go out from this place today, as we come here to worship and praise you and give you thanks, but as we leave these doors, Lord God, don't let us forget who we are. Help us to reach out to others. Help us to say the words that need to be said when it needs to be said. And I thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, move mightily in the hearts of your people. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.